You fell asleep in my car, I drove the whole time. But that's okay, I'll just avoid the hole so you sleep fine. I'm driving here, I sit, cursing my government for not using my taxes to fill holes with more cement. You fell asleep in my car, I drove the whole time. But that's okay, I'll just avoid the holes so you sleep fine. I'm driving here, I sit, cursing my government for not using my taxes to fill holes with more cement.
Oh my gosh, we're back and we're almost punctual. Welcome to the WSB Traffic Podcast. I'm Doug Turnbull here with Smiley Mark McKay. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good. What are we hearing in the background?
Well, yeah, we're in a little bit different spot here. So we're not in the studios of WSB, or we're not in the Captain Herb Ballroom in my apartment, or even in one of our cars. We're actually sitting here in the hangar at Helicopters Incorporated at the Cap Petrie Airport. And we've just got pretty much a universal mic right here. And so you're hearing everything. You're hearing Cessnas go by and helicopters, and I'm sure you'll hear some mechanical work here in a moment behind us.
In the shadow of the WSB Skycopter.
Right, right. How fitting is that?
You're on it, man. You're on it.
I don't know. I think it's just good service. That Colonel Jumpsuit was back. Our pilot, Captain Carl, back for, a special one-off appearance.
Yeah.
Flying us today.
He was Dynomite. In his return, filling in for the ailing Bob Howdy. It is September 10th. We're recording this, and maybe you heard the story coming out of Dawson County and what happened on this very morning. Just before dawn, we got word that there's a crash shutting down Highway 53 east of 400. It turned out, and we quickly got it confirmed through Dawson County Sheriff's Department, that it was a truck carrying 10,000 pounds of dynamite.
That's incredible. And so what tipped you all off first to the crash? Did Ashley or Veronica hear something on the scanner? Was there something on social media? Or
I know that as soon as we were ready to launch the Skycopter at 6, it was where they wanted to go. I was a little reluctant in terms of how far out it was.
Right, right.
You know, we have issues with having to be able to transmit back to be live on the air and hear what we're also doing on the radio and television. Everything started coming together. It happened just before 5:30. So with that being the case, they were gathering info, and as soon as this came up, there's a confirmation routine that you can hear about rumors of it being a truck carrying dynamite. But once our colleagues at Channel 2 Action News confirmed it, they were very interested in us going up there. And we did, but it was completely dark. I mean, that stretch of roadway is, as you can imagine, not developed. A lot of darkness up there. So you saw the blue lights on either side of the roadways that were shut off around 53, and then we refueled and went back up and actually saw crews gingerly going in there doing whatever they can to remove the dynamite from the truck.
I think you should have thrown a cigarette down there or something, you know, just to make it a little, if you wanted a shot in the dark.
That's true. Oh, that would have opened it up greatly.
I think that might have, So now, was this on 53 near the Forsyth Hall side of it? Was it east of 400?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was not causing a big traffic jam up there, but as you might imagine, the first responders gave a wide berth. This crash involved a few other vehicles, and I imagine it happened being in the cover of darkness that a lot of folks came up on this and maybe just ran into each other, because even the vehicles that were involved in the crash secondary around the overturned truck had their lights off, and they got away from it. So I think once they knew what the cargo was, everybody stayed back until the professionals got in, and later in the rush, we started seeing them approach the truck.
I was just thinking, modern day uses for dynamite. I can only think of like one or two.
I think of a lot of the quarries.
That's what I was thinking.
You know?
The quarries.
Well,
maybe some demolition, but I don't even know. I think that's a little more.
We love our folks up in the North Georgia Mountains in Dawsonville, but on my social media came up, that doesn't surprise me that an overturned truck carrying dynamite would overturn in Dawson County. So I got some social media posts.
Those mountain roads are no joke. If any of y'all have ever driven out there before, I mean, even the bigger highways, I mean, they can be quite sinuous, and a lot of them are only two lanes. So it's a big deal when one of those big Lake Lanier crossings, 53 and 20 and 369 for sure, all across Lake Lanier. And when one of those shuts down, it's almost like when a road like Johnson Ferry shuts down over the Chattahoochee River, your alternates are very limited. So that's a big deal, especially for freight traffic like you were flying over today.
We may not every morning mention the ride out of Dawsonville, because most mornings it's fine.
Right.
When you get through those signals past the outlet mall. But on one toss from Scott Slade this morning, I did say that it's not often we see the rush hour gel here adjacent to the outlet malls in Dawson County, but we certainly were able to see that. And not every day. And so it's one of those things we can just put it into the mantle and go, well, there's another one we haven't seen before, an overturned truck carrying dynamite.
Yeah. And did you see when you left the scene, and you guys have to land by 8:30, so as we record this, I think that's still ongoing. What were they, I mean, were they able to get to a point where they're just hauling boxes of it off and putting it in another vehicle?
I think the closest that the crews that were in there were assessing what they had.
Oh, wow.
I didn't see offloading of, like when a truck loses its load and there's an offloading process, they were kind of assessing at that point
what
they needed to do.
So, hey, Felix, catch, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to be the thing. Felix, put that cigarette out. Felix always smoking around dynamite, that guy. Uh-huh. So another kind of crash I think that stood out to us, and we see so many nasty ones, sometimes they run together, but one that really, there was a couple actually. There was that truck, or I guess it was an SUV actually, that crashed off of the Acres Mill HOV interchange onto that void, unfortunately there is one, between 75 North and South that happened about 2 weeks ago, and we're not sure the intent of the driver, if they were trying to do it or if they were having an emergency. They steered to avoid one car while they were, and there were not any skid marks, and they crashed through the fence of the bridge. And this is one of those HOV interchanges where it doesn't go off onto the road and back on. It's like at Northside Drive when we saw the Bluffton bus crash in 2007. It just went flying off the bridge like Dukes of Hazzard, and it landed nose first on the ground, almost standing up.
I think that was part of the story as dramatic as it was. A lot of eyewitnesses that were rolling down 75 South, you know, witnessed it as it came crashing through concrete everywhere. I woke up to that story because that was my midday nap time in between shifts, and boom, and the traffic center was all over it. And to hear that, then to see the social media pics and to see the pics of folks on the scene, it was pretty dramatic. I don't know if there was ever a determination made as to the condition of the driver. That led up to it.
I'm about to say that unfortunately the driver passed away. But one thing that, and this seems to happen anytime there's anything a little bit out of the ordinary, it happens in racing too. There was a bad crash at the Brickyard 400 this past Sunday where Brad Keselowski crashed into these tires that were at a weird angle, a tire barrier. People go, how dare the engineering of the track, you know, it's media, these hot takes, these gut reactions, and people immediately start going, I've driven that, what a poorly designed, you know, and it put DOT a little bit on the defensive. An official for DOT reached out to me, and they're like, okay, as soon as the Bluffton crash happened, all of our HOV only rants, we put out the required number of signs, that we increased the standard. Everything was there. Now, I'll be honest, I never take that exit. I mean, I'm usually driving by myself anyway. I've never taken it. But the other day, I did take it. And, I mean, it's a ramp. You know, I don't know. What do you expect? If I was going a bunch of miles per hour up an exit of any kind, whether there's signage or not, I shouldn't be going that fast up an exit, right?
Right.
So I think people need to calm down a little bit. And pointing the blame when sometimes freak accidents happen, and sometimes even more than accidents.
Well, who knows?
Or worse than accidents.
Well, who knows if there's going to be any changes made, but there were definitely changes made in Northwest Atlanta after that bus crash to that particular ramp and the signage. I mean, as they said, DOT probably went overboard with the fact that if you're in that lane and you're veering off to the left, you are exiting from I-75 onto Northside Drive from the HOV lane. The signage and the lights and the blinking, everything was like increased dramatically after that dramatic crash involving the bus.
And we see other instances of that in the express lane system that borders 75 on both sides of town, where you have to make conscious decisions to get in and out of the separate tolled lanes. Even the 85 HOT system, there are signs everywhere telling you. I mean, that's why you can't be a distracted driver. There are more elements than you just pressing the gas and going forward and making sure the car stays straight. There are plenty of things out there you need to pay attention to prompt you to do different things on your ride, and that's certainly one of them. So I hate it for that. I am glad, though, and I don't know what the reason is, but when they designed that particular interchange, there was this big void in the middle of 75 there where there's not just a median wall. There's a big I call it a void. I don't know what the best thing to call it is in between the two medians. The same place, Smiling, that I guess just about a year ago you saw cows getting corralled.
Yeah, just south of there,
right? And here,
yep,
there was space. What if that void hadn't been there? It would have crashed onto that median wall, and more than likely, you know, the Bluffton bus didn't hit any other vehicles, I don't think, but it could have easily hit another vehicle, so at least nobody else is hurt, and I hate that the driver, unfortunately, was killed.
Yeah, it's another one of those instances where you count the incidents, and it can happen any time of day. This wasn't the dark of night. This wasn't overnight, midnight,
like 1 p.m. or
1 o'clock in the afternoon. This was a midday during a weekday, and it just goes to show you, you can expect, when it comes to us, in terms of the reporting side of it, you can expect the unexpected on Atlanta's roadways these days.
And that's why you should be tuned in for our traffic reports on 95.5 WSB and our Triple T Traffic Alerts app 24/7, because you don't know. Another crazy one that I got to fly over, and we had no idea, so they're firing up the tractor behind us through the helicopter right now, but we're good. You can hear us. This was also a couple of weeks ago. We actually had a guest pilot in from Las Vegas. You didn't get to fly with Dan, did you?
No.
So, yeah, because you had ET in the mornings. So Dan needs a, yeah, Bob Howdy at ET. Dan needs a Colonel Jumpsuit. I guess Dan needs a nickname. But
yes.
But we flew over, and I mean, it's one of the worst crashes I've ever seen. On Steve Reynolds Boulevard at Venture Drive on either a Wednesday or Thursday afternoon a couple of weeks ago. And this, I think it was a movie truck or a tractor trailer, had just, I mean, leveled another vehicle. Just, we knew there was almost no way anybody had survived. And as it turned out, they didn't. We covered the crash. We talked about it a lot. Flew over it a long time. The story came back into the news, though, a couple of days later, because they found out that the lady driving the vehicle that got leveled had actually been hit by another car. And she was chasing the driver that had hit her.
Oh.
And that driver had run a red light.
Oh, I remember hearing about that
story. And she went after him. But, of course, you know, she didn't have sirens on. She's just a car. And sure, I mean, there's no way. I mean, you can fault somebody else if it's green in their intersection, right? And she got, unfortunately, I mean, the car and her got leveled. So
I do remember that story. And what do you do? The adrenaline kicks in.
Yeah.
You're probably on the phone with law enforcement. She probably was on the phone with 911.
Yeah.
But that's another example. You take it into your own hands, and then you put yourself and others at risk as well.
Others, too, right. Yeah. And I was thinking, what happens if you catch them?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's one of those, you think of point A, and not so much point B. What happens when you catch the person that hit you in another car? Okay, great, I got him.
Right.
What am I going to do? You going to shoot him?
Right.
What are you going to do? Go arrest him? I mean, you're hoping that you could somehow pin them in until the authorities get there, or you stay with them until the authorities find them. But the thing is, the authorities have to find you also. It's a moving target. I think we can both recommend here, and this is me being telepathic and trying to read your mind, I think we can both recommend that, in general, you don't go chasing after cars that hit people. Leave the chasing to the authorities. By the way, the authorities a lot of times don't do active police chases either.
I think this is a reflection, basically, on society and where we are now. Reactive. Incredibly reactive to situations you feel like you're in control, and as you will find out, and you'll possibly pay the ultimate price, that you're not. I mean, anything can happen in that situation. Just let them do their job once you report that you've been hit.
But certainly.
Let them do their job.
But then again,
adrenaline kicks in. A lot of things kick in. A lot of things happen. Could be having a bad day, and it'll be a worse day if you end up in a situation like that.
Right, and you'd certainly not want to hurt somebody else, too. So those are a couple of the crazy ones we've seen. We've had a couple of police chases ending things. I know we had one on Lawrenceville Highway at Brockett a couple of weeks ago. I think that actually that same afternoon, the same afternoon as the Steve Reynolds thing, there was a police chase also. And it just seems like right now the intensity is high on the roadways. You know, another subject matter I wanted to cover is just we're in the post-Labor Day grind right now, which is where the semester really has started. The colleges are back. They went back at the end of August. Of course, elementary school's been back for about a month and a half or so now. And now the singles or the people without families, they've probably taken their vacations, and we're almost, although it's going to be like 94 degrees today, it's almost fall. Right. So people are back in. And Smiling, I remember I guess it was the Wednesday after Labor Day. It was the first day I was fully back in town. And I was listening to you guys in Morning Drive, And I mean, I was catching flies with my mouth open. The ones that fly around, by the
way.
Yeah, just to be clear. So,
as opposed to, so, as opposed to shagging fly balls at SunTrust Park.
That's it. There you go.
Now you've been doing a lot. Doing
yes.
a lot of this season. But we digress. Yeah, we just amazed that, and not just small wrecks, but a daily one that we seem to have every day is I-20 East at Six Flags.
Right.
Maybe we ought to look into that, or I-20 West at in DeKalb County at Panola Road. But we definitely have the these have been multiple ones that have knocked out multiple lanes and made the commute, which for many is already challenging, even more challenging. And early morning hours out in Douglas County, we've seen some 5 o'clock delays that aren't supposed to be in place until they finish that paving project.
Yeah, the paving project. There've been two, I think, factors, or well, one factor on the West Freeway is that paving thing that's been going on since I guess early summer, late spring.
Yeah.
Where they've been going east and westbound at almost every exit out there, redoing some of the bridges and the interchanges. And the thing is, that's a fact of life.
Yeah.
When we're so dependent on interstates, about every 7 years or so, they have to get repaved. I do question sometimes staying out, you know, into the drive times. But you got to drive time is an expanding equation these days.
Yes.
It's a growing thing. And now there's really no guarantee that you're going to be delay-free, even when you go, quote, outbound, because people are working everywhere. If anything, you've got freight traffic that's coming in and out of the state. So that's pretty crazy. I wonder if the 20 West of Panola and 20 East and Six Flags calamities are caused by the fact that that's where the traffic usually, where the back door is, where the back door of the delays are. And people are slow.
That would be the collection of slow traffic heading ahead of you that we're
and not
paying attention.
You're hauling butt 80 miles per hour, and then all of a sudden everybody slows down. I mean, I think that's, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't happen everywhere in those spots, but it seems like it's gotten, particularly on the West Freeway, a lot worse.
Got a lot of worse, at least in terms of people out of town plates for a little while with the hurricane evacuations off the Georgia coast.
Oh, my gosh.
How we handled again. Have evacuees up here. It put a lot of pressure on the roadways. But there was a Thursday. Was it the Thursday after Labor Day that just seemed like everything was jammed up all over town? A lot of folks leaving.
Yeah.
Just sheer volume on the roadways.
That's people heading
We're
back
used to that
coast.
Now, aren't we now? We're seeing that influx from those who peel off of I-16 and in Macon, head north on I-75 and head in from the east on I-20.
Yeah. I have in the last year or two, 20 westbound to DeKalb County, usually late in the week and afternoon drive. It just stinks. It's slow, you know, from before Panola all the way to 285, and that's just no cause for it. It's just like morning drive.
Right.
It's tough to really nail that down exactly. And it's like it's like we don't even like we don't even have time to talk about it, okay? It's like 20 slow both ways to 285 Panola. Like, hey drivers, we don't need another slow spot, okay?
Right.
We're already like 12 to 15 deep, you know?
Well, it seems like every hurricane season we can expect at least one group of evacuees heading up to North Georgia. And fortunately, the minimal damage that was caused by Dorian allowed them to go back to their homes. But imagine being in that situation. Hopefully, we're all collectively here in North Georgia good hosts.
I think so. Well, you saw with, I think it was Georgia Tech and certainly the Atlanta Braves giving out tickets to the evacuees.
Atlanta Motor Speedway opening up the speedway to campers.
The dry campgrounds are free, and the campgrounds that you need plumbing were, you know, like very, very minimal cost, like $20 a night or something like that. So, and Charlotte Motor Speedway did the same thing in North Carolina. What we did not see from Dorian that we did see with Irma and I believe Michael was, how to explain, but it was a very pronounced time it was going to hit, and everybody seemed to, or most people seemed to leave at the same time and come through Atlanta at the same time and disperse. And with Dorian moving at 1 to 4 miles per hour, barely moving each day and staying stalled over the Bahamas, it seemed like the entire Labor Day weekend into the middle of the following week, we were dealing with, it's about to hit.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's about to hit. And that gave people chances to leave in stages. It's sort of like, I'm trying to think of, it happens kind of at Christmas, where there isn't like the Friday before Christmas. It's people get off work, get off school at different times, and you're able to kind of diffuse over an amount of time. It was sort of like that with the hurricane, to where you had people leaving multiple times from the coast, and they could also return it multiple times,
because
it was, there was never a direct hit, I guess.
It was the hurricane that wouldn't go away. I think somebody, social media, so over it.
All right, I think Smilin's right there. Yes, Dorian Fatigue. All right, I'm back at the Captain Herb Ballroom here. Thanks to Smilin Mark McKay for spending some time with us there, sharing his insights on the dynamite truck and some other big wrecks, and also the post-Labor Day traffic jam, and, of course, Hurricane Dorian. By the way, the WSB television and radio Convoy of Care deploys Wednesday and Thursday this week, September 11th and 12th. Among the locations from, I think it's about 10 to 6 or so, 10 to 5, that they're taking up different donations, and not just water bottles, too. They need water filtration tablets, diapers, non-perishable food, but at Channel 2's studios in Midtown, Georgia State Stadium, and also First Baptist Church of Woodstock on Highway 92 east of 575. So check those things out. You also may have noted that the hot lanes hit a record price this past week. Well, that was covered in my Gridlock Guy column in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I also have some insight from Mark Arum, who watches those hot lanes very closely and was the one that broke that the record broke. Got that? Anyway, that's all in on my Gridlock Guy column. You can find that on my social media pages or AJC.com, WSBRadio.com. Just punch in Gridlock Guy and HOT Lane 2019. It'll come up when you Google that, all right? So thank y'all so much for tuning in. We will be back very soon, as Atlanta traffic never takes a break. We will be back very soon with another WSB Traffic Podcast. So for Smilin Mark McKay, I'm Doug Fireball Turnbull. Until then, God bless.�638 miles of graded road.